Welcome to Get Involved Referee, and it's a special edition of the show this week with Steve Conroy and myself, Lindsay Heron. We've got two very special guests, former Rangers players Mark Hatley and Gregory Vignal. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Good to be here.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Gregory.
Thank you.
Very, very great to have you with us, and really great to get your insight into the refereeing situation in Scotland right now. Steve and I and our other colleague Des have had endless hours of fun discussing the proclivities of referees over
That's
the
season for you, say.
Over the season so far. And listen, it's all about VAR, Mark. That's been the biggest bugbear of everybody. And I don't know, what are your thoughts on it? And do you think it's worked well so far?
Listen, it's there. It's there for a purpose. Speed of game and the way the game is, you know, developing. Something needs to come for, you know, a referee's assistance. I can't understand why it's taking so long for it to settle in and work properly. Mm-hmm. VAR's been around now in different sports, rugby, cricket, for what, 10 years? I'm going to say 10 years. How long has it been in now?
4 years in the Premier League in England, for example.
Yeah. So it's been around. So
yeah,
the teething problems that we're having right now here in Scotland, we should never have because they've all happened, right? Yeah. So you go and talk to people who've been doing it the longest, which is probably the cricket, and you ask, right? Bum, bum, bum. You get the situations. I know cricket is a different sport. Mm. It's a slower sport and all that sort of stuff. For me, you're not getting any engagement to the crowd as well, which is an even more frustrating. You know, you're fired up. You're sitting in a stand. You think you've scored a goal. Players think they've scored a goal. Fans think they've scored a goal. And then you're waiting. Mm-hmm. You can be waiting for as long as it takes, really.
Yeah.
And we just had that conversation there before, didn't we? You know, clear and obvious. You know, why are we waiting 4 or 5 minutes for a decision?
Yeah.
Clear and obvious. Mm-hmm. Clear and obvious is clear and obvious. It's 30 seconds. You sort that out in 30 seconds. These are the sort of little things that do rile supporters. They get them all let up, very frustrated because there's no communication coming back from the VAR people.
No, exactly.
So that's where I find it difficult. And it, you know, this should be easy to fix because it's been round so long now.
That was something you'd said from the outset, Steve, that, you know, the SFA and the guys that were being trained, they should have been ready to go in right away and hit the ground running. But it seems like they're not ready.
No, they're not ready. And to be fair to our guys, we should have been in, if we have any pretense about being a major league and a major association in Europe, far less the world, we should have been in with the vanguard, not coming in at the back. And we've described it before as the country yokels. And I agree largely with what you've said, Mark, but introduce any new technology to anybody's work, anybody's employment, there's going to be mistakes, there's going to be errors. We foresaw what was going to be happening here, and it makes our guys look ridiculous because, as you said, 4 years ago in England, they were doing the same thing and it's running, all right, nothing's perfect, it's running pretty smooth. Mm-hmm. We just look like bungling fools because the SFA waited 4 years to introduce it. And as we said at the beginning, the SFA have thrown our guys under the bus.
That was the one thing that really seems to get in everyone's goat as well, guys. I mean, you know, Howard Webb comes out in England 2 weeks ago after a couple of big high-profile mistakes in the Premier League and apologises and explains what's going wrong and that type of thing. And the VAR guy, Lee Mason, I think it was, he's immediately taken out and pays the price for that mistake, you know. But we don't seem to be doing that, Gregor. We don't seem to be, you know... The SFA are not telling us what's happening is what I'm trying
People
to say.
People are not accountable, basically. Yeah.
Well, I think it's not an easy one, you know, when we are talking about VAR. So I'm watching games, you know, from the Premier League or from Scotland, you know, from France. And it's always mistakes because we are human beings. But of course, I think if you can get, you know, more information about what's going on. My main concern is about, you know, the tempo, because it looks like sometimes they kill the tempo. Mm. So that's my main focus, I think, and my main concern. But sometimes it's taking too long. Like Mark said, sometimes it could be 4 or 5 minutes. And when you're a player, you know, when you have to wait 4 or 5 minutes, or even if you score the goal and you have to wait to see if the goal, you know, is okay. And the VAR, would say maybe yes or no to before to celebrate your goal. So yeah, I think there is a lot of things to take, you know, on board and to speak about. But like I said, it's not an easy one, to be honest with you. And so you might be go, I like the VAR, maybe go, I don't like, you know, the VAR, but it's, yeah, it's not an easy one, I think.
The other thing that seems to get and really annoy people is the margin of someone being offside and how they come to that decision. You know, it seems like a toenail or a fingernail, and that's you offside. And that doesn't seem to be in the spirit of attacking football for me.
No. Pete, we've just, yeah, before we came on air, we're talking about it. We want to see goals. You know, you want to see shots being saved, efforts on target. You want to see lots of goals in game. And that's what puts bums on seats. You know, you get people come and watch this sort of game. And I've, you know, there's been like feet onside, hand offside. You know, as a forward's going past the defender, the arm is onside, offside, sorry.
Yes.
You can't score with your arm anyway, basically. So as I see it as a striker, obviously, you know, defenders should get punished for bad defending.
Yeah.
Right. And if you are ever in that sort of grey area of being onside or offside, that is definitely Gregory as being a defender. Mm. Would be bad defensive bad play. Yes. So the punishment then should be for the defender and allow the game to go. Absolutely let a game to go. Whether he scores or it's a great save from it, fans are seeing what they want to see. They want to see more goals and a toenail being offside for a striker with size 12 shoes and all that sort of stuff. That, for me, doesn't work.
Is that something that could be changed, Steve, do you think? I mean, could they be a bit more realistic about it all? And like Mark says, you know, if a player is demonstrably offside in the sense that he's gaining an advantage in the defender rather than just having his hand out or his toenail out, as he says.
Well, I agree. Again, it's meant to be clear and obvious. Mm. And we talked about the Liverpool one, and forgive me, I can't remember who they were playing a few years ago when they looked at it, you know, umpteen times and maybe decided somebody's toenail was playing them offside. That's irrelevant, surely. But their get out is that that's geographical. It doesn't matter if he's toenail, he's offside, which is just pathetic. And if it takes you 7 minutes to come to that decision, that means it's not a clear and obvious and you should get on with it. Mm-hmm. But it's always, always, always been that the benefit of the doubt in that situation is given to the attacker. Because, and no offence, Gregory, we want to see goals. Mm-hmm. So the benefit was always given to the attacker. Mm-hmm. And I know people out there will say, oh, you gave a corner, you know, you gave a by kick instead of a corner. But that happens sometimes. But largely, the benefit should always go to the attacker. If it's in doubt.
But you know what I'm saying to my players now? Actually, don't play it offside.
Really?
Just take one or two extra yards because you never know what's going on. And it could be a mistake cost you the game, you know? Mm-hmm. So now I think the way now the young players are learning the game are maybe different with the VAR, and that's, I think that's be part of the next generation to understand the game with the VAR. That's why it's not an easy one, you know. And you can speak about penalty as well. Rangers had the penalty 2 weeks ago, maybe with you know, it took a lot of time to to see if it was a penalty or not. So you know, when we are talking of VAR, and we had the same conversation in France, you know, where the VAR quite strong, you know, and now I think the French FA tried to get something brand new as well with new referees, but the problem, I mean, the issue is the same week in and week out.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're actually coaching your kids to drop
yeah,
off
yeah,
the attacker.
To be brave, you have to be brave, you know, in the 1v1 situation. Because
trust
to defend, trust yourself, you know, and to be, especially if you got a methodology or game plan to play high into the pitch with high block, you got a lot of space in behind. So you can, of course, your goalkeeper will maybe
sweep.
Must be ready to, you know, to control the depth. But the problem is now the player worried to play the offside position because of the VAR.
Yeah.
So I think it's a tough one, and it's not an easy one to coach. For the young boys, so it won't be easy to in terms of pathway, you know.
Absolutely, it's interesting because we're predicting there's going to be a massive call in Sunday's Viaplay Cup final. for one side or the other. It just seems
it's written in the stars.
Whether it's a sending off or not,
or a goal or not, or a, you know, somebody scores and you know it's going to go to. Going to go to VAR and they'll rule it out.
Of course, well, it's conspiracy theories will be there and they're all over it.
It's going to cause chaos, isn't it?
I hope not.
But I mean, you know, that's the type of occasion where it's the guys are going to have to be on their toes. I mean, Nick Walsh is on the pitch. He's done a couple of these matches before, but this is undoubtedly the biggest match he's ever covered in his life.
I would say one of the most important Old Firm games in a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know, Rangers haven't, apart from last year, been to a cup final, won a cup final. As I say, getting that cup final, as you say, the first one in the bag, takes away the opportunity of your opposition, your biggest challenger, taking a treble away. The mindset that comes from a cup final, the first one, an Old Firm one as well, the negativity it takes from the losing team, the positivity you get from a winning team, and there on in for the remaining 2-3 months of the season, which is vital for everything else.
Yeah,
it's massive. A big onus on the referee. It'll be microscopic on the referee this weekend.
What do you think, Steve?
I couldn't agree anymore. If it's always close in, but it's going to be close in plus just now. And we all know we're joking about it, but a last minute, is it a handball, is it not? That's going to be the nightmare scenario, but it will be poured over to the nth degree. We're talking about 7 minutes up to now. It's going to be 10 minutes in that scenario before they decide if it's a penalty or not.
Even you have to look at the last couple of Rangers Celtic League Cup finals, 2019-20, Chris Julian's offside when he scores, but no VAR. 2003, John Hartson scores, he's not offside. These are massive, massive calls which went against the team that was probably doing better on the day.
Yeah, and it wouldn't happen. Well, you don't think it would happen. It would happen now. But it takes away the humanity, the human part of it. And I know we shouldn't be condoning people making mistakes, but we do, as Gregory said, we're all human beings. Whether you like it or whether you don't, things like that make for more exciting games. There can't be anything worse, and thankfully I've not paid into a game where I've had to wait 10 minutes for a decision to come. It must be hellish.
I know. That is a thing we've talked about, though. I mean, fans sit there and they don't know what's going on.
Communication.
It takes forever to a graphic to go up on the screen.
Yeah.
And then the stadium announcer doesn't see anything.
It's like sitting in an airport and you don't know where your plane's going or not.
Or waiting for the gate.
And it can take as long as that. That's how I look at it.
Give me
some information.
No?
That's all you want.
Yeah. But could be maybe a microphone on the ref, you know?
Yes.
And maybe it would be easier in terms of communication. I don't know.
Does that happen in rugby, does it not?
Well, they're going to trial it in football, aren't they?
They're talking about it.
No, American football. I get it from the NFL.
Yeah, that's right.
They speak and it comes up on the board so everybody can hear.
Oh, yeah.
Including the fans.
Yeah,
eh?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
That's right. That's all.
They did trial it.
Interference number 44.
That's it.
But you know, the referee will be under pressure. Of course,
would last one game. So they did it in England, in Arsenal, and it lasted one game.
That's right.
And you wouldn't believe in, you know, you guys accepted some of the language that comes out that I don't think you could have that. But all the refs are all communicating anyway.
Yeah.
Now, I'm speaking out of ignorance. I don't know if they're mic'd up in VAR Central, but it's not beyond the wit of man that you could organise that so that somebody would know instantly. If I say, or if VAR tells me I've got to go and look at a decision.
In the rugby situation, I'm looking for a clear and obvious, in front of the ball, offside, has he grounded it? Can we have it all on the big screen?
Yeah.
Right? And you can hear him speaking, right? And then it's coming up, what angle he can give him to.
Yeah.
But everybody's getting a part of that.
Yeah.
Everybody that's going, what the hell's happening now? What the hell's happening now? And that's what you're sitting getting frustrated. The players are getting the same information as the fans at that moment. That's what should happen, right? It's not all relayed, back up there. They get it literally 2 minutes after everybody else. It should all be seen at the same time. For me.
Although in rugby, they're talking about, I saw something that the rugby refs are being told not to use. They call it the TMO.
Yeah.
Don't use it as much as they're using it just now. Mm-hmm. Right. I go to the Warriors quite regularly, and it's, you know, every single thing goes to TMO.
They're looking everything now.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you know, Mark, sorry, you are talking about big scream, and if you remember the game against France Italia with Zinedine Zidane had been sent off, it's because the referee is watching the big scream.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's got no information.
Yeah. Yes.
He's got no clue. He's got no information about what's going on the pitch. Mm-hmm. So that could be maybe something interesting, you know, maybe to use. I don't know, you know, in terms of communication.
Yes.
For everybody.
Yeah. But everybody in the stadium.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if it's a tight offside on Sunday and they put it up the big screen and half the fans are saying, that's never offside! And the other half saying, yes, it is!
Yeah, but you're getting that. Mm-hmm. You're getting that response.
Interaction, let's say.
That's the word I was looking for.
And remember, each half, no matter how obvious it is, each half is still going to swear blind.
Of course.
That it should have gone the other way.
But no, you're right. That has to be an important aspect. Just make it easier for the paying public to find out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, less frustrating. Mm-hmm. Communication is same as everything. You need to be able to communicate in whatever you do, whatever business you're in. The communication, line of communication, that keeps everybody on the same page, right? So you get a disenchantment from up in the stadium because we don't know everybody's what's happening, and all that sort of stuff. You want them focused on the game. Instead of losing their focus on not getting information. Mm-hmm. I don't think that could be too difficult to get in it on the big screens.
The other aspect I wanted to talk to you two about specifically was as players, and Steve and I have touched on it before, is it's only referees and former referees that are involved in the whole VAR process at the moment. So in other words, the VAR and his assistant are both current officials, and the observer is a former referee. There has been talk, you know, why aren't former players involved in this scenario? Could they help? Would they say, look, that's never a foul, or I wouldn't send them off for that, mate, you know, that type of thing?
I think it works. I think you've got an experienced pro, you know, that's played at a good level, understanding, you know, different scenarios within the game, how this ball's coming in and, you know, body shape and the way he's going to go and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then just passing on that advice to the referees that are sitting looking at the screen. Mm-hmm. You know, and it takes out that clear and obvious then. You know, it's you get in an ex-pro, they'll probably see it happening before anybody else sees it, because that's what you do when you have a top pro that's played at a really high level for a long, long time.
Yeah,
you're always seeing things as it's coming, and then you're looking and you're gauging everything around that one particular moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what referees, because they focus so much on that one player that's receiving the ball and a defender that's going to be approaching him or what have you. They've not seen everything else that's built up to that. Mm-hmm. They're just seeing that final moment of, is that a handball? You know, is it offside? Is it a foul? Is there enough pressure there to be a foul? You know, and all that sort of stuff. And an ex-pro will say straight away, yes, no. Mm-hmm. And I think so.
Yeah, I think so as well. As an advice.
Yes,
you know, yes. Just
after the referee's still the main man, you know, the guy who should go, okay, this is my final decision. But as an advice, yes, because you got the experience from the high level, how many games you play in your career for so many years. Mm-hmm. So you know if it's a big foul or no. Mm-hmm. And the intensity was, you know, as well. So as an advice, yes, as a final decision, I'm not too sure, because you're not
always
referee.
The referee decision.
Always a referee decision, but could be maybe working with the SFA, you know, and talking with ex-players to get more advice about this type of situation, you know, and that could be treated maybe during the week, you know, as an example, for example, as a courses, or say, guys, this is a situation, you know, what do you think? Could you give me your advice about this type of situation or this one? I think that could be great for the SFA maybe to have a look and with the referees, because it's all about communication and to get the right communication. So I don't know, to be honest with you right now, if I could play under the VAR as a player, maybe because we are old generation, mm-hmm. But it's not easy, first and foremost, for the referee, but for the players as well, and for the manager, for the staff. This is another thing, you know.
What are the chances of our Hampden chums inviting players into their bunker, VAR bunker?
Official answer, or just try to be polite? Be polite. Be polite. You don't know till you give it a go. Why not trial it? Honest answer, not a hope in here. Yeah. No chance.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. Not in a month of Sundays.
Which is frustrating, because they're not open to just modernisation, if you like, or new ideas, are they?
Of course they're not. You know, it's always been this. That's just the way they like it. They never communicate. They never come out. We've still not heard from anybody officially what handball is. Mm-hmm. Nobody's come out. You bang on every week. The same situation 1 week as a handball. It's not handball the next week. It's like our guys don't know which way to give it. And you don't hear a word from them. They apparently review all these decisions weekly, monthly, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They don't tell us. And it's maybe a bit strong, but I think it's quite contemptuous of everybody else. We are the consumer.
Yeah.
Us and the punter.
So basically, what we're all saying here is there's a communication breakdown at every level on this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There should be somebody coming out and telling us, and us as everybody who's interested in football, mm-hmm. why was that a handball? Mm-hmm. Why was it not? Why was that one given given offside? Explain why that was a red card tackle and why it wasn't. Now, I know the words for why somebody is sent off. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're looking at it and looking at it and looking at it, and I hate to bang on and, you know, criticise our guys, if we can have two sets of eyes looking at a tackle and call it as a red card, mm-hmm. and then a dispassionate group a few days later says it's not a red card, then we, as a group, the refs, have done something wrong. Tell us what.
An ex-pro would see that straight away, whether the intent is there.
I think the most recent example, which I think highlights this all perfectly, was the Nicky Clark red card against Rangers for St Johnston, where he loses control of the ball. He's not trying to hurt the player, but they clash shins and it looks bad.
His first touch is a tackle,
I wasn't going to criticise Nicky Clark's abilities, but Willie Collum sends him off, presumably in consultation with the VAR, although he didn't go and look at it on a screen. And then Nicky Clark appeals the decision, and he wins the appeal.
Maybe because of the pressure, you know, when you are playing away from home, you know. I mean, playing Ibrox or Parkett is maybe different.
Referees are away from home every week.
I know, but you got the fans, you know, when you got 55,000 or 60,000 fans. So could be maybe something, you know, difficult to handle for the referee, you know. Mm-hmm. But this is interesting, because this is now we are talking about this situation when we are doing the pro license courses. Mm-hmm. That's part of the new process to understanding the VR situation as a young manager. Yeah, really. So
that's why they've all got screens in front of them, the managers looking at the screens as it's happening in real time.
And to be honest, it's really interesting, because the game changed, and that's part of the game. So now when you are talking to the player, you are talking in a different way. And that's why when I said before, the way we approach the game is completely different, and it would be different. So yes, it's... It's a new world.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, you're in the final phase, just quickly to talk about yourself, Gregory. You're in the final phase of your UEFA Pro license, which is a very long, long, long protracted period and very expensive. And you're at the best of locations in Clairefontaine. So at the end of that phase, you'll be fully qualified to coach anywhere in the world.
Yes, I've got 2 months to go now, a week in March, a week in April, and one day in May. We are going to Clairefontaine and Guingamp and back to Clairefontaine. It's a 14-month course, plus 5 sessions in the game with the club. So the tutor is traveling to come to see me. A week working experience abroad to visit a club. So I've been to Queen's Park Rangers to see Michael Beale for a week. And it's a big prize, because if we are to compare, for example, it's 27,100 euros only for the courses and roughly 15,000 euros for the traveling and relocation. So we are talking about 45,000 euros. So that's part of the process with the French FA, but it's the qualification is one of the best, with a lot of humility. When the UEFA came in April talking about the French program, you know, for the pro license, they said he's one of the best in the world. And if you are listening, Didier Deschamps, Zinedine Zidane, or even Gerard, and I mean, of course, now he passed away, but it's a big one. So keep you out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
But including as well the traveling to go to Dundee 5-6 days a week. So from Glasgow, we are talking about 3 hours driving each day. So it's a big demand for me. But this is where I want to be. So I've got 2 months to go and I will be there. So yeah, it's a massive, the last 2 years has been quite intense for me.
Of course. But I'm really interested that you're being coached, if you like, on how to use VAR or understand it as a young manager.
That's part of the process. So that's why, I need to take interest about this, and I'm looking. That's why when I'm looking French game, when English one, Scottish one, are always interesting about the VR. And on Monday morning, I'm listening Sky Sports as well, because they are talking about VR mistakes. So to understand exactly, the rules, but sometimes it's not easy. So that's why I think I'm thinking about when I will be the manager, when I will get my proper staff to get maybe someone who know exactly the rules, and be part of the staff to understanding and to explain to us, okay, guys, this is what's going on live, even during the game.
Yeah.
Because I think that could be a big impact,
It's important through the coaching side of it as well.
Working
with that.
I think, training, of course. So we had a conversation. We've been to Paris FC last week for the pro license courses. And we had an hour conversation about the VAR. Because it's not an easy one to understand, and for us, especially as a young manager, that's why when I'm talking about potentially waiting 4 or 5 minutes, for me, that's killed the game, the tempo, if you are an aggressive, when I'm speaking about aggressive, it's an aggressive, manager with the intensity, it's difficult to wait 5 minutes, especially if you are, looking forward and attacking football. Mm-hmm. If you have to wait 4 or 5 minutes regarding the VR decision, it's could be a nightmare,
It's interesting that the broadcasters, get to hear what VAR are saying. So they know what the VAR is discussing with the referee during the match when a big issue comes up. Do you think the coaches should be able to hear that conversation?
Again, why not try it? Try it and see. We're all involved in football, all right, from different views. But, sometimes things happen and people haven't got a clue what's been looked at. But more often than not, you do. Mm-hmm. So would it hurt if I, as a ref, spoke to you two and said, I'm looking to see if that was offside?
Mm-hmm. Or the fourth official sat there and he's getting everything relayed to him in front of a monitor. Yeah. You've got both managers right by the side of him. Yeah. It's all on the big screen so the fans can see it.
Yeah.
Everybody's seeing the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, it's not a billion wires. It's two wires plugged into that, going to the big board, and you've got two angry managers.
It seems fairly simple.
Easy.
Yeah.
It looks simple, but it's not.
What's the worst that could happen?
I can't think of any.
Now, if I'm losing a final because of the VAR decision, I will go mad as a manager.
Of course.
You understand? So we're talking about the final next week on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a decision against me as a Rangers manager. Mm-hmm. And for sure, my reaction could be maybe over the border,
I mean,
So because of the importance of the game, and especially at this time of the season, like Mark said, it's important for Rangers to win because at the moment Celtic at top of the league. So potentially for Rangers could be the first title of the year, trophy of the year.
Yes.
So it's important that's why when we are talking about this, that's a shame, but the referee will be under pressure and the first decision will be, wow, what's going on? It could be, that's what I'm thinking, but this is what we are thinking as well. Everybody think about this and it will be on the newspaper on the next day.
Of course.
So
talking about being in the newspaper the next day, you were in it quite regularly during your time.
As long as it was the back page, I don't mind.
Casting your mind back to a remarkable derby game back in 91, your first season, Mark, Celtic Park, Scottish Cup tie. It ended up 8-10.
Aye.
Mark Walters.
I think he was trying to get the game banned, replayed.
Now, you can understand Terry Hurlett being sent off because he wasn't shy of a...
Terry?
cutting somebody in half.
He was just misunderstood. He was.
And Mark Walters, you know, that was an unusual one for him.
I mean, he was a dancer.
He was a dancer, wasn't he? Yeah. Flash, you called him, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of them games.
Just incredible. And that was when you had a bit of fun. I think it was Andrew Wardle, actually. We thought it might have been Kenny Hope. I've just checked. It was Andrew Wardle was the referee. And he demanded you come to see him, but you weren't having any of that, were you?
None of that, no. Everybody tries to play by the rules, you know, right on the edge of the limits. But I knew referees because I'd obviously a few run-ins with referees. I think it was sent off through my whole career from youth football all the way 12 times or something or other. And probably I'm going to say 5 or 6 of them probably well deserved, but the others, and I'm being fair here, I mean, not. Mm-hmm. So I tried to make myself aware of the difficulty it was to be a referee. So you look at the rules and the regulations that referees have to carry out within the duration of a game, right? So at this particular moment in time, he was surrounded by players. There was an incident, surrounded by players, blah, de, blah, de, blah. So I took myself away from the players, mm-hmm. made myself available where there were no players. And that is a rule that, you know, a referee has to make himself available to the player where it's a safe, no other players around him.
Yeah.
But I knew that. So that's why I said to him, explained to him. I'm just saying, you know, page 3 or whatever it was, there's this regulation that says you have to make yourself available in a clear and space sort of stuff. So, and that's why I said that. And then he sent me off.
And you made a wee farewell to the Celtic supporters, I believe, just as you were leaving.
Just waving bye-bye.
Yeah.
See you next time.
That was bizarre, though, mate, because it was 8. I mean, 8 against 10. I mean, it just seems so strange, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's always 8 against 10. That was good fun. That was good fun. Ian Ferguson said to me when I first got there, he said, "You'll never remember the first one. Maybe you get the second one, you'll enjoy the third one." And he was spot on, right? Because it passes you in a
whirlwind.
It did back then. I mean, it was. Yeah, not a lot of football played for the first 25, 30 minutes. His sleeves up and, you know who's going to be the bravest here and hold the ball up for as long as you can and going to take a knock. You know, that's how it was.
And some of the tackles back then, I mean, young kids looking at that now would be mortified.
Yeah. And I think to the detriment of the game, that tackle has been taken away now. I mean, get people out of the seats, a good goal, big tackle, right? Super goals, great saves. They get you all out there. But what it has introduced, in my eyes, it's introduced cheating, you know, by players just falling over, getting a breeze and, you know, how big's the contact. And we've got all that then brought into the game of football that shouldn't be there for me anyway.
You think it's a bit sanitised now? Not as...
Defending used to be a great art, you know, the big tackle, and marking well. I think all that now is... the non-contact side of it, you know, it's introduced forwards or whatever part of the pitch you are, you just fall over now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not what people want to see.
No.
You know, it's a physical contact. If ball's knocked into me and I know that as soon as he puts his hand on my shoulder, I'm going to fall over and get a free kick.
Yeah.
And that's what Greg was saying there. How do you coach similarly with the VAR and all that going on? Is it a free kick? Is it not a free kick?
Mm-hmm. Difficult.
It's a difficult one, yeah.
But for me, the whole film still intensity, bravery. And, I mean, we always enjoy to play this type of game because of the rivalry, but the intensity of the game, you know. And I mean, when I came to Scotland, everybody was talking about the whole film, you know, to compare with the Liverpool-Everton game or the Manchester United versus Liverpool. But I think that's the one... you know, where you are so focused and so happy to play this type of game because of the intensity, you know, the crowd and the atmosphere, it's massive. So I prefer to see a good whole film game, you know, and with
the good tackles.
Correct. Yeah. And goals.
Yes.
Rather than the soft one, because I think this is not the is not the proper one.
Yeah. We've talked about it a few times in the last few don't know a number, the last few Celtic Rangers games, there's hardly been a tackle at all.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's to do with, you know, things being sanitised, or whether the last few managers have just had a different mindset. Mm-hmm. But going back a bit to talk about the cheating being introduced, because along with the change in the rules, some ex-pros don't help that. Mm-hmm. When you hear some of them, we've said the names before, we won't say it again tonight. You know, things like, you know, you're entitled to go down. If you feel the touch, you go down. That doesn't help anybody, surely.
No.
That's as much cheating, somebody coming out and saying that, as anything absolutely. Else.
Yeah.
And in the same vein, obviously there was a big incident in the Rangers Partick Thistle game where Malik Tillman doesn't realise it's a give you the ball back scenario.
Yeah.
And inevitably he scores and causes utter chaos.
Yeah.
One of the ex-Celtic players that I think you're referring to, Andy Walker.
Oh, that's the name.
Said, who? No, never a chance in hell.
Who?
That Celtic would have allowed Rangers to score a goal if that had happened in an Old Firm game.
Why?
It just said the fans wouldn't allow it.
Well, it's not up to the fans to
No, but you know what I mean? He said the players wouldn't allow it in his day. Like Roy Aitken, Tommy Burns, guys like that, they would say, no chance. We're not allowing Rangers to go up the park and score. Do you think that's
Do you think it would be the same with the opposite way?
I don't know. It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Interesting one.
The inference is that it wouldn't be the same the other way.
No. He was meaning that either wouldn't do it. He said if Rangers had a goal...
Yeah, yeah. Neither or would.
Celtic wouldn't allow them to go up the park, and vice versa, Rangers wouldn't allow them to go up the park because it would cause civil war, effectively.
I'm not too sure.
Yeah, the other side is that you have a riot because you don't.
Yeah.
Well, it's not allowed.
I know.
But that's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. But I think Michael spoke about this after the game, you know, during the press conference, about the standard
values.
The values of the club. So I understood what he means by that, you know, and Mark as well. Mm. So it's a strange one, an interesting one, but to be honest, he's a young boy, young players.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't see the incident.
So that's why, you know, after it's the decision come from the manager and I think the staff, because I think he said he had a chat with the staff and the review on a small iPad. So after looking, I think it's for me, I think it was the right thing to do. And at the end of the game, they want
for sporting integrity, the right thing to do.
So that could be maybe credit to him. So because you must be brave as well. It's not an easy one for the referee. Could be this one as well. You know, it's a decision where, whoa, what could we do? You know, the manager said, go to see you and say, oh, no, just...
Could the referee not have stopped the incident before that?
It's nothing to do with the referee.
Well, we discussed that.
Before...
Can he blow the whistle maybe to
before
stop?
Before he scores a goal.
Yeah, well, what we thought he could have done, Gregory, was as soon as he realises mayhem's about to ensue...
As soon as he's tackled the boy and rubbed the ball off it.
You know, you come back, the throw-in was in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
You need to take the throw-in again.
That's a VAR decision. That could be a VAR decision or not, by the way. I never asked the question.
No.
Why?
Because there's been no possible or no potential transgression.
No.
It's not a foul.
No.
It's not anything. And you're saying, you know, bring it back. We're going to...
Throw-in.
We're going to do a throw-in. You can't do that. Once ball's in play, you can't bring it back for that. But anybody with any sense, again, you know, the ref's going, nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, try and put myself in that position. Mm-hmm. You know, you conjure up an inverted commas a foul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're convinced that ball's going in, that's a foul every day of the week.
Yeah. So the referee was I don't want to use the word weak, but if he had a bit more nous about him, he could have stopped the match, Mark, before Tillman scored.
Yeah, yeah. But anything, the right thing was done in the end.
Absolutely,
Defend the ref, you know, you said weak. The ref didn't do anything wrong.
He could stop the action.
He could have said that it was a foul throw. Yeah. He was taken in the wrong place.
In the wrong place.
He could have said that it was a foul leading up to it. But that's him, you know, kind of bending things.
Yeah.
The ref is totally innocent in that. We're talking about ways of getting out of it.
Yeah.
But unless there's an obvious transgression, the ref just stands back and goes, oh, bloody hell, what's happening?
Yeah.
I know.
Who'd be a ref?
Well, exactly. You had a few run-ins over the years, big chap. I also remember your one at Celtic Park in 97. You'd come back to try and help Walter and his players win that championship, the 9 in a row title. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think you did anything wrong. Nothing. apart from get your hands squished beside you.
That was Charlie Miller. He grabbed me from behind and gave me a bear hug so I couldn't get my arms up. Yeah, that was one of the occasions that I shouldn't have been sent off, because there was no headbutt at all. I just put my head down so I couldn't get hit on the chin in a melee of players that were being pushed and all over the place. Yeah. And the referee, unbeknown to me, was stood behind me.
Yeah.
And all he saw was my head come down.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone came running towards you.
Goalkeeper.
It was a goalkeeper, wasn't it? Stuart Kerr?
Worse than refs.
You weren't very friendly with goalkeepers, as I recall.
My dad often said that goalkeepers were only invented to keep centre forwards on the pitch back in the day. You know, there was that many collisions with goalkeepers and centre forwards. You know, that's more on the art of the tackle and the collision. You have to nibble around and find weaknesses in teams, and invariably a goalkeeper is the man that you want a bit edgy.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, listen, let's hope that Nick Walsh and his team have a successful day on Sunday, or not, because then we'll have plenty to talk about on Monday.
Yeah, it's just, I hope VAR doesn't break down.
Well, that like it did in the last time.
Yes.
In the semi-final. Oh, my God. How embarrassing was that?
Only in
machines
Scotland.
Machines break. I know.
Yeah. Machines break.
Only in Scotland. Mark, Gregory, lovely to have you on the show. Thanks very much for joining us. Again, thank you, Steve, for being with us.
No problem.
And we'll see you next time on Get Involved, Referee.